This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. It is cut down day around the league. You might see some surprises, but for the most part, this is the day teams are going to get down to 53 men. That's the roster limit. And then we're really going to get going. Now you're really going to start seeing players that are going to get cut if they can land somewhere. The roster movement is still not done, right? There'll be available players, and then teams will reevaluate things. But for the most part, today is the day that you'll start hearing about it. It'll start coming down the news wire, certain players that are going to get cut. Here in Tennessee, for example, Brett Kern, who's been punting for the team since 2009, I think, has just been told he would be released today after all these years. Crazy business, right? It's a crazy business. There's really not a lot of loyalty because you are always being judged constantly by the talent that is coming up behind you. If you can sustain a long career, it really is a testament to your talent and your ability being able to stay relevant. Yeah, I know quarterbacks get locked into deals and whatnot, but you know, if you're a kicker, for example, and you can just find another one on Monday, right? If you can be around a team for a long period of time, you've done an excellent job. Brett Kern has done a very good job. But everybody knows as you get closer and closer to certain age areas, right, whether it's your mid-30s, late-30s, even early-30s, that the clock is ticking on certain positions. But today you'll see a lot of players getting released today. And then some of them will land someplace and some of them are going to say, well, after 5 years, I'm retired, or after 7 years, I'm retired. The Bills, for example, O.J. Howard has been released. There's going to be a whole bunch of those today as the day goes on. But that also means we're getting closer to the start of the season. Thursday night, we've got a full slate of college football, the Backyard Brawl, West Virginia and Pitt, one of the games that is featured because Pitt is ranked, but also because it's one of the rivalry games that has not been around a while. 2011 was the last time West Virginia and Pitt played in the Backyard Brawl. Obviously with them going off to different conferences, so it made it more difficult to sort of book that game, but it is back. It'll be at the Acushur Stadium where the Steelers play now, formerly Heinz Field. But it also is interesting because it features two former USC quarterbacks who went from Southern California to the Morgantown, Pittsburgh area of the country, the Rust Belt area of the country, in Keenan Slotus and JT Daniels. All right, coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb, and then we'll roll along as hour two rolls on as well as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. We don't have like a throwback Tuesday. We don't even have a throwback Wednesday. But we do have the good, the bad, and the dumb every single day. So, before we get to the good of the day, it is brought to you by Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G, nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Daily roaming at 2G speeds. All right, let's get the good of the day.
Well, you know what? I'm kind of glad that you prefaced it that way. We don't have a throwback Tuesday.
Right.
Because you know what?
What?
We do.
We do?
We're going to have a throwback Tuesday moment right here.
Okay, right.
Because yesterday, August 29th, 2022, mm-hmm. Serena Williams won at the U.S. Open.
Right, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Albert Pujols hit a home run.
So 21 years ago.
21 years ago, August 29, 2001, Serena defeated somebody. I can't pronounce the name. In the second round of the Open. And Pujols did hit a home run also on that same day.
Wow.
That kind of puts sports in perspective a little bit. Like
21 years
separate these two moments.
And they're
identical.
Which is more impressive? That Serena is around 21 years later to win a U.S. Open singles match? Or Pujols is still around hitting another home run?
That's a
hard one to dissect.
That is a hard one because, you know, I'll lean one way, then I'll immediately talk myself out of it.
Yeah, because Pujols has kept himself in great shape at his age to hit home runs, but Serena is still winning
the
tournaments.
Truthfully, it's this. It's remarkable that 21 years of separation between these two things, and they're still doing the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
They're
it
still
is crazy.
Winning.
Especially, my son was born in November of 2021, and I think, wow, that's like his whole life. Like, I feel like he's been around forever, right? Like,
of course.
You know, but I'm like, wow, before he was born, these two were doing their thing. That's crazy. But atop them all off, Tom Brady's still playing football. So that there's a
right.
There's an angle there. But that's really amazing. I think tennis, look, I don't want to put down, I'm not trying to dismiss Albert Pujols' accomplishments, staying in Major League Baseball and staying in a way that still you can hit balls out of the park at 40 plus years old.
It
amazing.
Does help that the National League switched to having a DH as well.
Right,
that's
right,
giving
right.
A little bit more life.
But Serena running all around a court, getting it puts wear and tear on those knees, wear and tear on the body. It doesn't matter who you are, man or woman, to play tennis for that long. That's kind of impressive too. That's pretty amazing. But yeah, 21 years ago,
21
both
years.
Of them. Wow, that's wild.
What they accomplished yesterday happened 21 years ago as well.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. That is a good.
It's hard to really put in perspective.
So Albert Pujols, again, 6 home runs away from 700,
yep.
6, with another month on the calendar. I know he's not coming back. He says he's not coming back, and I wouldn't come back for or two more home runs.
Yeah, and I don't think he has – I'm scared to say this, but I don't think he has that multiple home run per game thing left in him.
No, I'm with you.
I think he went one more this season than he actually had.
But it looks like the I think the Cardinals are starting to pull away a little bit in the division. I know the Brewers could get hot, and they better be careful.
Yeah, but if you do that, you could
play him a lot.
You could afford to play him more, yeah.
Yeah, play him as much as you can, and let's see what happens. Because it'll be good for baseball, good for him to get to 700. I mean, it would be weird if he got to 698 and was like, that's it. That's all she wrote.
I know.
But yeah, I'm with you. I find, like, I liked following Judge. But I have found myself enjoying Pujols more. I have found myself checking on the Cardinals at night, see where Pujols is, seeing if he hit a home run, that kind of thing. I'm enjoying this race to 700.
And I honestly think it's because there's a finality to it. Like with Aaron Judge, I feel like, all right, if you got to 58, well, you got next year.
Yeah, you got next year. Next year, you can do something.
And you're still young. You're still improving year after year after year. For Pujols, like if he's at 590 or 698 at the end of the season, you're not going to bring him back just because now you know why you're bringing him back, and you're bringing him back just for numbers.
My son and I went to Yankee Stadium in 2016, and on that particular game, two Yankee players hit home runs in their first ever Yankee at-bat. One of them was Aaron Judge, and I regret I didn't keep the ticket stub because I think Darren Revelle would want to buy it like in 15 years, right?
Or now.
Right, maybe now.
He would probably get a better deal now.
Right. Yeah. Darren, if you've got any memorabilia lying around your house, let Darren Revelle know that you have something of particular interest because he might buy it for you. That's kind of
that's
his
right.
collection thing. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Tony, is that democracy is dead.
Democracy
is dead.
Kept hearing that over and over
again. I know we don't like getting political on the show, but I have to let you know democracy is dead.
Yeah.
Even though the people were voting for one candidate, the University of South Carolina chose another.
They did. I was very upset. Yeah.
They did. We had highlighted the other day that there were three names that they were kind of flirting with, and one was leading far and away. I don't even know if we can say it now because now it's not going to happen. So now it's dirty now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your mascot, your rooster, Sir Big Spur, has a new name, and that's going to be called General.
So they let people vote, and then they said, "No, we don't like what like what you voted on."
Can't call him that.
Can't call him that. So we're going to call him General.
General.
Which just have been much easier if you had just said, "We're going to call him General." Thanks
for
your interest.
And never let anyone
don't do
chase.
It. Don't like it's. You know, you open yourself up. When I was in minor league basketball, we had a name the team contest, right? And we had a big contest, name the team, et cetera, et cetera. But we knew what the team was going to be named. Like, there was marketing material already made, but we had the contest so that we could launch the name of the team, and we kind of had a winner, quote unquote. But we didn't let the fans choose the name for real. Like, we knew what we wanted. We just kind of used it as a marketing tool. But that's the problem that you have when you put it out to a legitimate vote, right? Like, a legitimate, like, go online and vote, and then you vote and you see the percentages. You better be rigging that if you don't want a particular name to win, because you look dumb when you go back and say, yeah, sorry about that. We are not going to be naming it that. We're going to be naming. Then why did you even let us vote in the first place?
I don't, was it just for, now we know what it's, what literally it was for. It's like, hey, look over here. Look at us.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's all it was for.
That's all it was for.
Because, I mean, if not, like you said, you better find a way to skew that. You better have like a thousand, I don't know if it was a Twitter poll or what kind of poll it was, but you better have a way to actually show the graphic and manipulate it.
Yeah, exactly. You better be working behind the scenes on that. So it shows like, oh, well, it was gaining ground, but we're not going to be calling it that. The general has won.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, goodness.
I'm sorry. It's a dumb name.
It's dumb. That's dumb.
It's a dumb name.
It doesn't have anything to really do with that. You know, it's South Carolina's mascot is not military in any capacity. It's a gamecock. It's a fighting chicken.
Yeah.
What do you want? It's not a war chicken. It's just a fighting chicken. That's all it is. Oh, goodness. Mighty tasty, too. Little 11 herbs and spices.
Right.
Maybe they should have called it the Colonel. That would have been fun.
That would have been funny.
Right? That would have been funny. Instead of the general, call it the colonel.
Then you can play. Yeah, demote it.
Yeah, demote it. Because you know what's going to happen when we go 3-13, general, right? We're on the same page with this, right?
You're going to get demoted.
You're going to be on the plate.
Well, if you go 3-13, the University of South Carolina is going to, you know, all of a sudden going to be like, hey, guys, you remember that one name you wanted? It's back.
Exactly. Put you in that air fryer. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Side note, man. Have you done that yet? Put a chicken in an air fryer?
Not yet, man.
God, it's
good.
Come out so good.
Does it?
Oh,
I got
man.
It. We have an air fryer. We don't use it. I got to use it.
I highly recommend. Just put whole chicken in there.
Like, season 11 herbs and spices,
want.
Too?
But yeah, season it the way you want to. Set it and just put it in there. Oh, God.
Beautiful.
Get that crispy skin.
Oh.
That's healthy for you. It's not
now
fried.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that Tom Brady's final touchdown ball. You remember that?
Oh, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, it's back on sale.
Wait a minute, wait. Who has the ball? Brady does.
Because this is what happened, right?
Refresh the story, because I'm thinking of something else.
It was the final, what was it, not the NFC Championship game. Was it a divisional round? I don't remember when the Buccaneers.
It was
a
divisional round. Yeah.
Divisional round.
Yeah.
Brady throws a pass to Mike Evans. Mike Evans catches the ball, immediately hands it to a fan in the stands.
Right.
Because that's what you do. Probably because he wasn't thinking it was going to be anything worth of anything. That fan, I don't know if he kept it or gave it to somebody else. Whoever had the ball decided to put it up for auction. I think it was like the day before the Super Bowl, around that time frame. The fan, whoever owned the ball, auctioned it off, and that fetched a price for $500,000+.
Wow!
Because Tom Brady had retired, and that was his final touchdown pass.
Right.
The day that it sold, the day after it sold for that record-breaking amount, Tom Brady announced he's unretiring. Making it pretty almost certain that that is not his final touchdown.
Right. I gotcha.
So they were able to get that auction voided.
So the person got the ball back.
The person got the ball back and is now putting it up for auction. It did fetch a price of $500,000. Obviously, he's not going to get anywhere near it. But it is up for auction again. Already has a bid out on it for $25,000. And it's being billed as Tom Brady's last pre-retirement touchdown football.
Oh, goodness gracious. People will buy anything. You slap a label on it like that. Like, goodness gracious. Like,
person knows that that's not his final touchdown ball.
Right. Exactly.
And it's not his last pre-retirement.
If you got $25 to throw down the toilet on a ball that no one cares about, go ahead. right? Go ahead and, yeah. And buy it. But that doesn't, like, he's going to be chucking some touchdowns this year, and people are going to forget about this one. Like,
yeah, easily.
Like, people kind of, you know.
I just don't see it being a good, like,
no,
you,
not a good
you
one
usually
at all.
Invest in something like this because you know it's going to make more money down the road.
Like, and it's a cool talking piece. You're like, I got the football.
You know, let's talk about, like, the Mickey Mantle baseball card over the weekend. You saw that, right?
$12 million?
$12.5 million.
Yeah.
And that probably will go up because they've only know about three in existence. But they can only locate this one. They know that there's two others out there. They just don't know what happened to those other two.
Yeah.
So that makes this a very valuable card, and that card will definitely go up in price.
Right. Right.
This football, I don't think it will.
What happened to the football? What was the story about the football where the guy had it and Brady gave him, like, crypto and like, he gave him a Bitcoin? What was that football?
That football was his
record-breaking football? Touchdown. Okay, that's
like
right.
700 that's or 600
right.
touchdown.
He got, like, a jersey. He wanted a round of golf with Brady. He wanted everything. He wanted, like, hang out with Giselle on a beach or something.
It was
like,
part
nuts.
Ownership in the Buccaneers.
Yeah, exactly.
Involved.
And they were like, here's the deal. I'll give you a Bitcoin that me and Bill Burr are talking about on TV. We'll give you that. I'll give you a signed jersey, and you give me the football. How's
Which
that?
I believe has since crashed, right?
Yeah, right. Bitcoin? So he gave him basically worthless Bitcoin. It was worth like $65,000 when he gave it to him. I think you could get like two Starbucks and a hat for a Bitcoin now. Ugh, that is plummeted.
So yeah,
By the way, do you see Brady pitching that anymore?
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone pitching.
Do you see Matt Damon talking about explorers in space and exploring the ocean and fortune favors the bold? Do you see any of those ads on TV anymore? Because I don't.
Not really seeing anything about Bitcoin, Dogecoin,
no,
crypto.
I ain't seen any of that now. It can come back, and then you will see it again.
Maybe it will, but I think the only thing we're going to know about the cryptocurrency phenomenon is the fact that the former Staples Center is named Crypto.com Arena.
Exactly. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Tony D. Ron Culver. Find us on Twitter at Tony D. Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get into the college football and some more NFL when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got a busy hour number three coming up. Connor O'Gara is going to join us Saturday down south, preview the SEC this upcoming season. Hondo Carpenter, Sports Illustrated, is going to help us with the Raiders, our AFC West preview. Raiders did make the playoffs last year, but they got a new head coach in Josh McDaniels, new general manager in Dave Ziegler. They've cleaned house, bring in a new group to help this team kind of reach some larger potential, if that is possible. Derek Carr teaming up with Devontae Adams now, teammates at Fresno State, now teammates in Las Vegas. Defense should get a little bit better, but there's still, you know, this is a Raiders team that for a long time, we've kind of gone into, there's been some years where like, yeah, I like what the Raiders are doing, and then they don't do anything. So we'll see if Josh McDaniels and this team, can take a next leap. But I'm not holding my breath on this. I think the conference is way too strong. And the division is way too strong for us to sort of take the Raiders and pluck them into the upper echelon of what this conference is going to produce this season. Matt Araiza, the punter from Buffalo, was released after allegations surfaced that he was part of a gang rape of a 17-year-old while a student at San Diego State. Yesterday, Brady Hoke and the athletic director at San Diego State had a press conference, and they walked out on it when they kept being questioned about it, about that particular incident, rather than their upcoming game this weekend and whatnot. It's not a tough position for them to be in. They should have had answers ready. They should have known it was coming. Let me just put it to you that way. Their public relations team, director of media relations, they had statements, but should have really prepped them for, guys, look, there are going to be people here that are going to be very interested in your football game this weekend. But trust me on this, there are going to be a lot more people at this press conference going to want to know your thoughts and what you did at the time when this surfaced within the Aztec program. Matt Araiza is claiming innocence. He has been released from his job. His parents put out a statement yesterday saying, you know, look, when, you know, the facts come out, you know, all of that, but we've been subject to death threats, all of those kind of things that you get in these kind of very, very heated sort of moments. I will say, I think the Buffalo Bills, I know we live in sort of this innocent until proven guilty world, but that's really in the court of law. I think if you're the Buffalo Bills, people have said if Josh Allen was accused of this, they'd keep him on the team. And they would. They would. And I hate to say that, but they would. And they would because in the end, Josh Allen is more valuable if he is determined that he is innocent than a punter. No matter how good this punter is, and he is a good one. He was an All-American. And he is a good one. But in the end, the Buffalo Bills can sacrifice a punter who bogs them down in a controversy they have nothing to do with. They were not in charge of Matt Araiza when this went down. None of them were his coaches. None of them were his administrators. Nobody had anything to do within that Buffalo organization. And so they went, you know what? We can find another punter. And really, to be honest with you, we don't really need our punter to be all that awesome. And we don't need this every single week. We do not need this every single day. We don't need to be making comments about how we're supporting the process and we're waiting for this to play out. And while it's waiting to play out, we're on the team. Now, some of you may not like that. Some of you would wish that, you know, that they would back him up and say, look, until we get the facts, until this is sorted out, until this case run its course, until the evidence is brought up, then, you know, and we need to really look at it and do our own investigation, we will keep him on the team. They cut him immediately. I mean, they basically released him immediately as soon as the story came out. And it's because, again, what is their goal? Their goal is to win a Super Bowl. They do not need a distraction. They do not need players being asked about this. That's the other thing, too, is that they didn't want Josh Allen to be asked about this. They didn't want Gabriel Davis or Stephon Diggs or anybody on that team to be asked about this. Sean McDermott especially. They do not want to have this in their house whatsoever. And it may be that he is innocent. It may be that he's telling the truth. I have no idea. But the Buffalo Bills as an organization said, you know what? We're not going to have this every single day. We're not going to have TMZ come up here. We're not going to have all these other organizations come up here that have nothing to do with football that want to get our thoughts on keeping a guy on the roster who's been accused of this and going through this. It's a distraction and we don't need it. And to be honest with you, it's unfortunate. But that is sort of the reality in life, though, isn't it? Like, you know, if everybody, every one of us in being employed is valuable in some way, but to some degree. Right. You know this in whatever company you're working for. There are just people within the chain that are more valuable than others. It may be unfair and in maybe certain circumstances it's completely ridiculous, but that is just the way it is. If Matt Araiza was a All-American quarterback and he was the future of the franchise, they might be willing to put up with the distraction to see how it played out. But a punter? No, you're on the chopping block. I'm sorry. You can bring in another punter.
Even if you can't punt 82 yards.
Yeah, even if you can't punt 82 yards. Like you're gonna weigh that in the scale, right? You're gonna go, hey, this guy is an All-American punter. He can belt it 80 yards. He's amazing. But on the flip side, we're gonna get asked about this every single day that he is on this team. So you know what? Sorry.
And, you know, and maybe if he was on the Lions, they might take the risk. But the Bills are sitting there like, hey, do you guys remember that game? We didn't use one.
Yeah, we didn't even use the punter in a playoff game against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Yeah, we don't even want our punter on the field that much. Like, we don't think he'll be used a lot, so therefore, we don't need a guy.
Yeah,
we shouldn't have to have a guy that can kick it. By the way, we shouldn't have to have a guy that kicks it 80 yards. We should never be in position to need a guy to punt it 80 yards. You know, we should be like 60 at the most with this offense. But that's basically the way it is. Look, and again, we tend to take things that are realities for us within the criminal justice system, and we sort of put it into the workplace. And we all know that's not true. We all know that that's just not the way it is. In this league, if Araiza was under contract, they'd pay him out the contract. Like, whatever it was. He was going to be their guy. He wasn't going to be cut. He was going to be their punter. Maybe there was a buyout. Who knows? I don't know. But they did release him. The reality of it is, in the NFL, there is no right to be on a team. There is no right to play. They can cut you for any reason. They have to pay you in certain circumstances when they don't want you around anymore, but they have the right to not want you around anymore. They don't want him around anymore.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Back to the Matt Ariza thing for a quick second. Again, I don't know what happened. I really hope that he's innocent. I hope, but at the same time, if he is innocent, it means he's been falsely accused of something, and that creates its own set of problems. I do think, and I will say, that we have a tendency to jump up and down when things like this happen, and rightfully so. We should all be outraged of a minor going to an off-campus party and basically being violated. That's horrible and horrifying. And I think, like, if I was that young girl's daughter, I'd probably kill first and ask questions later, and that's why it wouldn't be in my hands, right? I mean, that's just the way fathers are. But, like, watching that documentary, Fantastic Lies, about the Duke lacrosse case, that was kind of scary, because those kids at Duke, there was an anger about them for something that they didn't do. Like, there was an anger because they were rich, white, northern kids that got to go to Duke to play lacrosse, right? And there was already a built-in animosity towards them. So when they were accused of their crime, it was so believable that it was almost ridiculous that they didn't do it, right? Of course they did it. They're a bunch of college kids, think the world belongs to them because of their upbringing. They're, you know, from Long Island, and parents are wealthy, and they're going to Duke, and they're playing lacrosse, and the lacrosse team is good, and they're kind of stars, and all of those things. And then you watch that documentary and you watch it play out, and it was like they had to hire expensive lawyers to prove that they didn't do it. And then the evidence was overwhelming that they didn't. And like Mike Nifong lost his law. It was so egregious that lost his ability to practice law. He lost his career over prosecuting that case. Like they had an ATM video, a picture of one of them at an ATM machine at the time, miles and miles away. Like, but the point of that documentary wasn't so much like, yeah, people made a woman made a false accusation against the Duke lacrosse case. I think it was to show, hey, there was like this built-in bias. It snowballed into outrage because of the public sentiment about Duke and about players and athletes from that particular background, and especially for the victim. And then one of the highlights was they all admitted if their parents didn't have money, they'd be in prison. They'd be in prison. Like, they were innocent and they needed the resources of their parents to go get high priced lawyers, very expensive lawyers, who could break down this case for them. And there was one particular moment in that documentary where there was like a reporter. It was somebody who covered the case. I wasn't sure if it was newspaper or TV, but anyway, he said in the documentary, did they do this? Probably not. And I thought, I just watched a documentary where I saw all the evidence, and now I know they didn't. And he was still clinging to this idea that they probably didn't, but maybe they did, because he didn't want to release it. Like, he didn't want to let it go. He didn't want to, in the mountain of evidence that these lawyers had that said, hey, look, our guy was here. We show here. We've got receipts here. This is where this was. They weren't even at the party. This is what happened. They were showing this timeline of them not even being in the building when this went down. And yet this guy was still clinging on to this idea, like, no, they had to have done it right. Like, I can't let this go. Matt Ariza might happen to him too. Like that, like, we might end up with a situation, and I don't know. I want to clarify this. I have no idea, but we might have a situation with Matt Ariza where he might, and his legal team might, show enough evidence to say this didn't occur. He wasn't there. He wasn't part of this at all. And people might still go, yeah, but you know what? It's got to be something, right? It's like, I can't let that go. I can't release it. I can't. So he's going to have that with him the whole time. And I think my overriding point is, I know it's a long way to get to this point, is Even if, how many people in America, and let's be honest here, how many people in America are going to be paying attention to a civil suit of a San Diego State punter enough so that if Matt Araiza is cleared of it in the civil suit, if he's cleared of it and he is on the Jacksonville Jaguars, people aren't going to go, isn't that the guy that raped that minor while he was in college? Like, I think that carries with him for the rest, maybe the rest of his life, but because life is a long time. It could be a long time for him. But at least for his career, don't you think? Do you think I'm reading this right? I live in Nashville, you live in Houston, some people listen to us in all sorts of places. Are we following this? Are we going to follow this enough? Like, this isn't going to be on Court TV. The news isn't going to talk about day three of the civil lawsuit from Matt Araiza. Like, that might be a local San Diego story. But
or
is
Buffalo.
But not Buffalo. They're done with him. They're not going to bring him back.
That's true.
Like, he can go anywhere he wants now.
I think it does follow him. Because anytime he's going to go anywhere from here on out, you're going to be like, Matt Araiza, why do I know that name? Even if it's not football. Say he gets into
real estate. Right. Exactly.
And listen, I mean, here's the other thing I was thinking about, too, is that even if it wasn't, you know, what the allegations are, which is, you know, a rape of some kind, right? Gang rape, whatever it might be. Even if it's not that, it's also still the fact that, you know, you're dealing with an underage minor.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he admitted to having consensual sex with a minor, which makes this really a big problem for him as well.
Yeah.
It adds to the problems he's going to have to overcome. Yes, that's a major issue, but it's not gang rape. But nevertheless, I think his career is going to be a real issue because I think if you're a team, you may like him punting, but that's just not a position. We talk about this with kickers all the time. Like, you get a kicker and he's missing a couple field goals. Hey, we'll see you later. And Monday you bring 10 in.
The Jaguars, a week before, I don't even know if they brought another kicker in, but remember, they last week we talked about it. They cut their kicker.
Right. They said, yeah.
And they were like, all right, we cut our kicker. Who do we have left on the roster? We don't have one. Well, let's just go find one.
Just go get one. You bring in like 10 and they all compete on a Monday and you sign a guy on Tuesday. Right? So he doesn't have a position where you can go, he's such a great wide receiver.
I hate the narrative too. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It was like, oh, this was a first ballot quarterback or first, you know, round one quarterback. He wouldn't have been cut. And it's like, yeah, you're probably right.
Probably right.
Because that's a highly skilled position. Even I'll go as far as saying if it's a running back, wide receiver, you know, maybe a great defensive player, you're probably not going to cut him because you might say, well, let's just see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Maybe you're suspended on the team. You know, you're like a team suspension, but you're not cut.
You deal with it as an organization where you go, we're going to ride this out and see where this goes. And in that case, you might get enough national eyes on the story to see what the evidence is going to be, right?
Right.
Where maybe the guy doesn't settle and they go, there's civil court where you don't have to have, you know, it's not a jury. Like OJ had to pay the Goldmans in a civil suit because it wasn't a jury of 12 people and you didn't need all 12, right? You just needed a majority of people to go, yeah, there's probably something here. Give them some money. This is a civil suit as well. But if you're a big time first round draft pick quarterback, there might be enough eyeballs on the story where people go, oh, you know what? I remember that story and there was nothing there. And it looked like there was evidence to show that he didn't do it. But I don't think that's the case here. I think if you're a San Diego State punter in a civil suit in San Diego, I don't think people in Miami are like following this so closely that if the Dolphins signed him, you'd go, yeah, I followed that from day one. And I agree. He's innocent and welcome aboard to South Florida.
What he'll probably have to do later in life, using the, you know, him becoming a real estate agent down the road or something like that, or insurance salesman, he's probably going to have to move to a different location.
Yeah, I know.
Where, you know, he might have to move like to Charlotte, where that past won't follow him.
Yes, it's just, it's again, I have no idea if he's innocent or not, and I don't want to give anybody the idea that I believe him. I don't know. But I'm looking at this story from the lens of, Yeah, it's this is a tricky position to be in, because even if you somehow win your civil suit, and yeah, maybe an NFL team decides to take you, you may be still answering questions about this for a while, and teams might still go, yeah, I don't really want to need to. Well, I don't want to explain this. Like, he's a punter. He's not the most important guy on this team.
It's like what you mentioned with the Duke lacrosse kids. Now, the saving grace for them is that no one in this country pays attention to lacrosse.
Yeah, I don't remember one name of any of them that were there. You know,
but
the only way I would know, if I met one of them, they'd have to tell me they were part of that. I have no idea who they are.
But I mean, but that certainly is something that, I mean, they're innocent.
Yeah.
But that's something that certainly followed them during their school year.
Yeah. They even said in that documentary, they even said there are still people that reach out to them to say you got away with it, because they couldn't release it. Right. They didn't pay attention. They didn't want to release it. Right. We do that. We do it a little bit in sports. We do it a lot in politics, where we have a side, we believe in the side. And even when somebody says, well, that politician didn't actually do this, or that politician didn't do that, or that bill doesn't say what you think it is, people don't want to hear it. They go, ah, la, 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 la. Both sides do it. And it's the same thing here. If you end up in a situation where an athlete is accused of something pretty horrific, and you believe that occurred, a lot of people hang on to that, and because we're also accustomed to believe that in the end, somehow, some way, money made it go away, or something. Like, there's something about that story that's not right, or, you know, and we find a conspiracy under every corner, right? And that's one of the things. I did this with the Deshaun Watson case with a friend of mine who we actually touched on it a little bit about how the league wanted Deshaun Watson on the field. And a friend of mine brought that up not that long ago. And I said, but here's the thing. There's no reason for them to want Deshaun Watson on the field. But I will tell you, if you tell me, which is more accurate, that owners pressured Roger Goodell to not make it a year so that he didn't get an extra year with the Browns, which would have happened, that I buy. That I'll buy. But I don't believe in Deshaun Watson's playing to sell jerseys angle. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that the other owners went, no. They're not going to get Deshaun Watson on this contract for another, like, he's on a 5-year deal. He plays his first year there is a suspension under year one of the contract. So you get him back on the field at some point this season, and then 1 year is counted against him. That I believe. I see that. But there's not a conspiracy under everything. But at the same time, in Matt Ariza's case, I just don't think there's enough eyeballs are going to follow this all the way to the end to see where it goes, so that he can be welcomed as a punter somewhere in this league. I think I don't think you'll ever hear from him again in this league. I don't think maybe I'm wrong. The NFL's tricked me before, so we'll see. All right, it's Tony D, Ron Culbert. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's Wake Up Call. Next hour, Connor Ogara is going to join us, our good friend from Saturday Down South. SEC preview. Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, is back at Alabama. Stetson Bennett is back at quarterback for Georgia. But there's two new coaches in the conference. Brian Kelly now taking over LSU. And Billy Napier is taking over the reins at Florida. Spencer Rattler is at South Carolina. Tennessee is expected to do some good things. Kentucky is ranked. We've been waiting for Arkansas to burst on the scene. There's been building something there. KJ Jefferson, their quarterback. So there's a lot of things in the SEC. It's like any other year, but a lot of things in the SEC ready to pop. And we'll talk to Connor Ogara. And then we will talk about the Raiders and get their preview as we continue AFC West week. And later this week, we'll have the Broncos and the Chargers to see how that goes down. And then we're done. We will have the Lions next week at some point.
Yeah, we'll do
it before the season. Lions and Rams, maybe.
We're like teachers.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
right.
We'll have a makeup day.
Makeup day. So we should have the Lions next week.
Because, you know, the Lions do deserve it. It wasn't their fault.
No.
We can't. A lot of times, you know, if we have a writer that doesn't want to come on, like, you know, looking at you, Rams, we get mad at them.
We do. There's
no
excuse.
There's no excuse. But for the Lions, it was like, okay, you guys have a pretty good one.
They all said the same thing. We're so sorry, but...
It's just that our show comes on right as practices are starting. And, you know, every single one of us like, it's the first time we get to hear the coach speak. All right.
We don't want to be away from that when that happens.
Well, so, you know, then their job becomes in jeopardy, right?
Right. Can you imagine that? Yeah.
Did you get that soundbite from that coach? No, yeah. I did a radio show.
Tony Kornheiser used to talk about this when he tells a story about Charles Barkley back in the day. They said Barkley was notorious because he liked to play with the writers a bit who covered the Sixers, and that the writers would hang around the locker room, and then Barkley would be like walking out to his car. And there'd be like one or two writers that would follow him to get more follow-ups. And as he would leaving, he would say, and by the way, the coach should be fired. And then he would leave. And then all of these two writers that just hang around would have a quote that Barkley said that the coach should be fired. And the other writers didn't. So now all the writers started following Barkley to his car because you never knew what he would say as he departed the arena, which was the Spectrum back in the day. I always thought that story was pretty funny. Can you imagine being a writer staying up late until Barkley left to follow him all the way to his car every single night? That's what writers have to do. You never want to miss that sort of quote. All right, so we got the SEC and the Las Vegas Raiders. It's all coming up in Hour 3 as we continue with Wake Up Call.